you're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, joined in the studio on Pretty Late by Senator Dan Katowski, who is writing Sidecar tonight. Craig is putting together our scene from What's That From for later on, just so you know.
Looking forward to it.
He's our director.
Hopefully it's about a woman who's battled against all odds to be the number one radio show host in all the
actually,
country.
To tease, the movie is one that's been, there's a lot of different movies in this series, so the people are going to have to tell us exactly which one it is.
Okay. The name
of one of the famous characters is going to be used several times. So
you're teasing this audience. Wow. Well, I can tease them.
Doesn't sound like the movie I suggested.
Watch me tease them with just the tip. Oh, see what I did there, Jess and Bess?
Yes.
Wow. I know, I didn't.
I'm so happy I'm out of office.
I know, really. I'm not.
I know, but it was just
Let's get to you later. We're talking to the women, the wonderful women from the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. When is your performance at Stage 773?
We are Saturday at 8 p.m. in the Thrust Theater. So you've got just the tip in the Thrust.
I think that they really enjoyed booking that, didn't they?
I think so. I hope so.
And it wasn't renamed for the performance, was it?
No. It's actually called The Thrust.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. It's a type, you know this. You've done theater and sketch.
A bit.
It's the stage thrusts into the audience. Oh, the audience like surrounds it. Mm-hmm. Thrusted in. Okay. They are one of the best sketch groups I've ever seen. So much fun when I saw you last year and Sketchfest. And this year, as a matter of fact, too. You guys always have something new. I know you work very hard to bring something fresh to every performance. Mm-hmm. And how has it been getting ready for this festival? Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Did I build it? What happened?
It's been hilarious.
Yeah. We always are like, okay, the festival is 3 months away. Yeah. Let's start writing. And then it's like, 2 days ago, I was like, cool, I just finished this scene.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I know.
To the wire.
Your aspirations are up here, and you're like, no, I've got time. We have 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I read through the script last night. I start reading it to memorize it and stuff like that, and I giggled so much. I don't, some of it's going to hit, some of it will probably not hit, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like it's almost like an Andy Kaufman show. Like, we're having more fun than the audience will ever have.
Oh, yeah. But I think audiences have fun when you are having fun, when you're energized that way.
And that's one of our things. I think we do play with the audience, and we have more fun with the more fun that we and the audience have.
And you do span the range of like things that are familiar. Like, I always go back to like some of the blackouts you have are just a blast too. I've never seen anybody do it so well. And I enjoy that. And there are things that are pop culture, that are things that are familiar, sort of like, oh, yeah, we had a tour guide that was crazy like that. And then things that are very surreal. They do everything from the accessible to the surreal, is what I meant to say.
Oh,
I love
thank
that.
You.
Yeah. Accessible to bizarre and hysterical all the way.
Yeah. Do you have kind of like trail runs in front of smaller audiences?
No.
We never really put them up in front of anybody. And they only typically go up once. And then we're like, oh, that was fun. And we always go back to a new show. And we're like, let's all write a whole new show. And we never do. We do the whole new show. We never put something old in.
Yeah, every once in a while, something sneaks back in being like, hey, that was funny. 10 people saw it.
Yeah.
But we're expecting about 300 for this show.
So you should. Well, Saturday night is a great night to be in. That's the big headlining night.
It's a good time. They gave us a great time.
And there's a lot of great shows. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be on Saturday at Stage 773 in the Thrust. And everyone go to stage773.com. Can I give away a pair of tickets for Saturday night to your show? I mean, I can. I already asked the box office.
For sure.
Awesome. Yes.
Give them just the tip tickets.
I'm going to ask your permission, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've already spoken
to the
producers.
So unlike you to ask for permission.
I know, it was odd.
What's going on?
That's how Just the Tip works.
Ask first.
Ask first before.
I just got a text from Debbie Grisco, who is the amazing woman who runs Almost Home Kids that I was telling you about earlier. And Debbie, thank you right back at you. You amazing event. And people can find out more about Almost Home Kids. If you have anyone you know in your life who has a child that's medically fragile, you have a new situation in your life and they need some help, please find Almost Home Kids. And the thing is that I think that's how I deal with a lot of things in my life is through humor. Did you come to like getting involved in sketch comedy? Did you always know, like when you were a kid, you wanted to be on maybe Saturday Night Live, or is it something else that brought you here?
I don't know how I got. I mean, like, I've always been a weird kid. I mean, like, I remember, like, looking in the mirror and, like, practicing faces.
Right.
And, like, discovering the day I could flare my nostrils and being like, that's a character.
Nice.
I was, like, six, being like, mm-hmm.
Do you still do it? Because I found I can only do one eyebrow.
Oh.
And I, like, stopped trying a long time ago to do the other one. And then the other day I was in front of the mirror and I forgot. Like, as a kid, I would do that too. I would make faces and I can make my ears twitch. I can only make one eyebrow go up. And I was trying to do it again and I thought, can I still, like, train the muscles in my face to do new things?
Oh yeah.
Do you still sit in front of the mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta get back to doing that. It's fun to play that way.
But I mean, like, I like drive sometimes and I'll just like be like, you know, that person looks like they talk like this, and then I'll just like I talk to myself in the car a lot.
If you have just a night conversation with her, you see about six different characters, so she's not the same person in any given
at least time. I don't even know who I am right now.
Right.
Well, you're a very talented person.
Well, we like this person very much, whoever you are.
Whoever showed up tonight, thumbs up.
You do you.
Real classy. Yeah. And Bess, what brought you to comedy?
I grew up in a very comedic family from Arkansas, so we had to be very self-entertained. And I think I have, like, I can look back to little pieces of it, of being like, one time in seventh grade running around and be like, when I grow up, I'm going to go to California and be a stunt person and, like,
ooh,
you know, throwing a smoke bomb and something or another. And so I just always was very theatrical. And I feel like a lot of times, like, for example, one time we were shooting a Lewis and Clark thing and I was like, Jess, just shoot this firework off and then yell, Clark, like, you're looking for me. And she's like, well, I've never shot a firework off. And I was like, you know, being from Arkansas, I was like, what? This is like the performance I like give every year. So
you are not doing what I need you to do in this moment.
And it's one of the best blips we have on YouTube of Jess. It's an outtake of Jess shooting the firework off way too fast.
Well, okay. It wasn't too. It was very bright and it was snow everywhere. And I tried to light it and the fuse was extremely short. So I couldn't even see what I was doing. I couldn't see the flame. And it just goes, bah! In my hand.
No.
It was, yeah, like, it was like right here.
That had to be scary for someone who's never lit a firework,
yeah,
before.
She lit one right before that.
No, but I like, I couldn't even look down and I was like, there's gonna be my hand and blood all over the snow. But just
we all giggled and we were like,
no, I'm with you. I've never lit a firework before. Yeah. I don't think I ever have.
I get it. And then I think I don't have that realization all the time that I did like stunts like big time that just being in Arkansas, we did all the time and stuff. And Jess, we were like, we giggled, we were shooting it, and we were like, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, my ears just hurt.
And that's on YouTube?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Do you have a YouTube channel for some of your sketches?
It is just the Tip Comedy. There's some old stuff on there, though. I wouldn't really...
We don't update it much. That's the funniest. I mean,
yeah,
it cracks me up every time. I can watch it. Like, I can be like, it's like cat videos to me watching Jess being like, my ears just hurt.
Well, because I'm dressed up as like a frontiersman in the snow and it's just like,
like, you're Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meriwether Lewis.
And do you have any, are you doing any multimedia for this one or is it all right, yeah, I didn't do a tech. I let them know I wasn't coming, but I kind of felt really horrible that I'm like,
you're not doing it at all?
I'm not. I'm just having intro and outro music. So,
oh, you are doing a show, though.
I'm doing a show, but I didn't do my tech rehearsal.
When are you?
Sunday.
Oh.
Sunday. I'm doing a patty melt.
Oh. Those are delicious.
You saw that we created the patty melt because of you, Senator Katowski. We created it. Not, you didn't create it. Your colleagues and the people in your life helped me realize that
college
I don't.
Is just another is nice way of saying family, my family.
Some of the people that you work.
You.
Some of the people that work in your office. Who was the woman that there was one woman.
A lot of my mom asked, well, why aren't you on earlier? Why because Dan's on so late? And like she had control. She's like, it's a late night show. And so there's a series of people like, oh, my God.
We're at an event where he's being honored for his work with people. He has epilepsy and has helped so many people in the community to make sure that they have the services that they need and that the research is available for them. And there he's being honored. And he invited me. And I was like, I was honored to be there. I was like, oh, he sees me as somebody who, you know, he wants to celebrate with. And everyone, he would introduce me and say, this is Patty Vasquez. She has a show on WGN. And he would turn away and start talking to someone else. And that person would be like, you know, your show's on a little late for me. I don't really. I can't really listen to your show. And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. Everything's available on iTunes. Yeah. And then the next person's like, this is Patty Vasquez. And they would be like, why can't you be on earlier? And I was like, that's the time that they...
And it's going to be called Pretty Late.
You had come back, though, from... I think you were at a funeral.
My mother-in-law passed away that morning, and I was a little stressed. So, like, six people. And each person comes up to me, I'm getting more amped. And then a woman from his office says, I'm not really like thrilled with some of the things that Senator Katowski says on your show. And then I was starting to lose it. And I go, you know, there's probably another 40 or 50 senators that'll be more than happy to be on my show. And he's like turning around, not like yelling at people.
I'm not going
to
listen
anymore. Truth be told, yeah. I don't talk to those people anymore.
It was so bad.
They're out of my life.
Well, it was.
I mean, except for my mom.
Well, they didn't know.
And my
they
dad.
Were The thing is,
and
when people say things, like they really are just, that's what comes to their mind, right? They don't know the last six people have said the exact same thing, and I'm trying to like hold it together.
Well, the whole idea is that you had like, you know, your choice. You could be performing earlier on the radio.
Yeah, I can't. This is it.
I'll do it on 1 o'clock tomorrow just to fit Dan's schedule. You know? And you were just being kind to me. You're giving me an opportunity to be on the air and do this. We did this thing called It Ought to Be a Law, and it was a lot of fun.
So I kind of had a Patty Melt in public where I just became slightly hysterical. And we realized that that's what I do. Sometimes I just can't. And that's what the show is, kind of a lot of things that make me have a Patty Melt.
I haven't seen that.
No, you haven't. And some of it, I just did like 6 new minutes of material on Monday night at Zany's. So.
What's a trigger? What's a Patty Melt trigger?
It could be anything, but usually it's ignorance. But it's also like, for me, it's my own anxiety, looking in the mirror and going, I really hate my nose.
Yeah.
It's the stupidest thing. Like, I don't.
I was thinking about that when we were talking about like doing the eyebrow thing and just playing. And like, we're just playing there and being like, yeah, I'm killing this eyebrow movement as a little kid. And as we grow up, we're like, oh, my nose sucks. And
that's
like
exactly
trying
what's...
to take judgment out of it.
Well, I haven't looked in the mirror and thought I look okay, or I look good, or I look nice. I mean, like maybe once in a while I'll be like, okay, I can go out in public like this. But I've hated parts of my body since I was like 14 or 15 years. I look in the mirror and I hate.
Stop.
It's just a body part.
You're
but
beautiful.
That's what we have to teach. We have to teach. It's just a body part.
But you know, you have like, and my mother is listening going, don't you say it. Don't say it's my fault. It's not. My poor mom had to put up with, I wanted to have a breast reduction when I was 14 years old because I was 105 pounds in a size D cup.
Yeah, your mom will say, I gave you boobs.
And it was hard because I would slouch a lot because I tried to hide them. And she'd be like, sit up straight. You know, and it was just very soothing. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is State Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe. ChildServe, leave the E off because your work is not done. Get to work, would you? I don't even know why you're here. You should go back to work.
Wow. I guess I'm going
to
go.
I'm so happy to have you.
Yeah, I'm about to have a Danny melt.
I'm very... We should do a two-person
That's
show.
A trigger.
A Danny melt.
That's a
trigger. It's a trigger. Yeah, that's the thing is I never know when I'm going to get triggered. I just walk into situations. By the way, a Patty melt is also when I laugh uncontrollably and I can't talk anymore. So that's also... We were going to make it a segment and then we never got the sound cues down for it. Steve Cochran was going to... We should do that. Steve was going to do a voiceover for it. Ladies and gentlemen, your show has been interrupted by a Patty melt. We'll be returning to your regularly scheduled programming. We have... And I'm excited to perform this weekend. I'll be performing on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. I am in the box. I'm excited. They're in the thrust. I'm in the box.
Yeah.
It works out very well that way. The Patty melt in the box.
But I feel like Michael in The Office. I feel like whenever I have, you know what I mean? Yeah, like biting my hand.
Well, just the tip.
Michael Scott.
Yeah. I never watched The Office.
Oh.
I can't talk to you. I know. I just don't have to, I have to pick and choose. There's so many things to watch. Mm-hmm. Do you watch a lot of television,
it's
Jess?
Over,
I don't watch a ton. Right now, it's just a Game of Thrones time.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Greg, please. Yeah.
That is a good decision.
Do we have some stuff
you
to
are
talk
making.
About?
We have so many things to talk about. Hodor, for one. Oh. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, well, we have a Game of Thrones scene in our show on Saturday.
Oh, do you?
Craig, you got to go see Just the Tip.
To this.
They're in the thrust on Saturday night. Everyone go to stage773.com, click on festivals, and you can see the entire schedule right there. Also, 312-981-7200. We have a pair of tickets to see just the tip on Saturday night. 312-981-7200. I feel like we should give them like a caller number three. I was going to do a quiz, but I don't have enough time for a quiz.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about Women's Funny Festival. Mm-hmm. When people ask you why why does it have to be a festival just for women? And I
don't think they have the cojones to ask me.
I like to think of it as a place to celebrate. I mean, you know, there's...
Yeah.
And the other thing is I didn't want to say this the other day. I was on Steve Cochran's show and the producers were there. And I love Stage 773 and Sketchfest is great, but there are so many dude groups. Mm-hmm. There are so many dude-heavy groups that are there. And I mean, like, when you were there with the Comic Thread, that was fantastic. It was one of my favorite shows.
Thanks.
Not just because I like you. Mm-hmm. I like you very much.
It was a fun show.
It was a very fun show. Yeah. It was good chicken work you did there, by the way. Can you? Okay, that's one thing I have to ask you. Can you do a little bit of the chicken doing the...
Sure. It's a
chicken that they have found. Was it on a farm or no? There's someone selling
like a petting zoo.
Like a petting zoo. It's a chicken that can do a trick, and these guys are like impressed by it, so they decide to buy the chicken because it can do this. Why wouldn't you buy that chicken, Senator? Wouldn't you buy that? It does Wizard of Oz.
Sold.
Yeah, it's saying, right? Only it never stops.
It never stops.
And so they're compelled, like, I mean, at first they're like making money and they're showing off the chicken. Although, I mean, like, how could you not? You would keep making money. Yes, Craig?
I really like the way that scene is told in reverse, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, that they start with the end. They kind of Quentin Tarantino the whole thing
for
us. Yes, they do. It's really great.
I don't know if they're ever going to do it again, so I don't want to ruin any of it.
I think they did it.
They did it at a Sketchfest, I think, in Ohio.
Like Philadelphia or something. Yeah.
So they might bring it back.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, I don't want to ruin it for anybody who sees it. That would be bad.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's very funny. Yeah. And well,
You're very talented at that.
Very talented.
Do you do other animals?
Big Danny K. Patty does do some animals.
What can you do?
That's my goat.
That's pretty good.
Because they use goats to put out fires in California. That's not a sheep. Sheep go bah. And I said,
this is an animal off. It's officially an animal off.
Why do you? Who is it? Who is a goat?
I do a goose.
A goose?
Yeah. I might have to back up from the mic.
Yeah, back up from the mic.
What is that goose? What is a goose?
No, wait. Okay, can you look up goose and see if that... Can you match that up?
Is something happening to that goose?
Yes.
I was looking overhead.
Definitely.
It's like choking on rice.
By the way, has Esmeralda been attacked in the traffic booth, by the way? What happened with her camera? Oh. What is happening?
Is
she wrestling with the camera up in... What's... No, it's now it's...
Oh,
like,
now it's good. It's gone green.
She held her head up.
There's bad things are happening.
Someone has abducted... Esmeralda.
At least
yikes.
We see Rob.
Yes, yeah. Rob is fine. Can you make sure that Esmeralda is
Rob,
safe?
Rob, do you do any animal noises?
Woof.
That was one before we go. That was Senator Katowski. Very nice. Well done. Go see Just the Tip at Stage 773, stage773.com for information. 312-981-7200 for a pair of tickets to see them this Saturday. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us right now is the political cartoonist for Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, all dapper in his tie and tweedy suit. And
pants.
Senator Katowski and I are wearing our gym clothes. Isn't it weird?
Did you guys work out together?
It does look like it does a little bit.
Totally did. Are you climbing stairs without me?
I climb stairs alone. I was really cold after being down by the lake.
We've climbed stairs together. We had moments.
We have.
I was counting the stairs.
I'm so out of shape.
Oh, I started climbing again? Oh, yes.
Once you stop, like that, I thought I was like, I did presidential towers in like less than 30 minutes, and I was like on the fourth floor going, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, you make sounds your body has never made.
That's an excellent Brenda Vaccaro impersonation. Am I dating myself?
A little bit.
Are you sure? I do remember Brenda Vaccaro. I can't remember. What were her commercials? She did commercials for, was it a pantyhose? Or something like pantyhose. I don't know.
But you and I walked stairs, and we did like 100-plus flights, and we're like, this is nothing. Whoa, you know what awesome.
The great thing about doing it in your building was that we would walk 10 floors and then walk down the hallway. We would climb 10 floors and then walk down. There's something about taking that stretch.
Right, but
walk.
Then we increased it, and we kicked it. We killed it.
We did. We were killing it. And then today I thought, I'll stop every 10 floors and do push-ups. Ooh. That hurt me so much.
Oh, that sounds really... By the way, a real quick text from the 630 from our last segment. Oh my God, I Googled the word that Patty and her guests kept saying. Yes. Wow, I really do learn something every night from the show.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. See, I think educational.
Educational.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
We did not get the correct spelling of that word. It's funny that they were able to get it.
I think phonetically, if you look for that word, apparently, according to Bess Boswell, it is a scientific medical term, so it was fine. Just in the same way, I believe a weenus is also appropriate for the skin on your elbow.
Oh my God, a weenus. Everybody has a different looking weenus.
Yeah. Yeah. And you
matter?
Should never be jealous of someone else's weenus.
No, you should never.
I can't even get through the shows anymore.
If you're curious.
This is supposed
Dan
to be.
Dan is going to run for governor, and these will come back.
Now, wait a minute. We should keep. If you're curious, you can just ask someone to show you their weenus.
We used to call it, I'm not going to use that word, but we used to call it elbow cheese. Like
elbow cheese?
And so when my mom, we were in the car, we would grab her elbow cheese just to bug her, and then in the front seat of the car, and the guy's in the back, and she's like, stop grabbing my elbow cheese, you know? So I would never use that term.
I think I like weenus better than elbow cheese.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't like
that
term.
If mom yelled, stop grabbing my weenus.
You know what? That doesn't sound right.
Wait a minute, Dan.
Mom, if you're listening,
Dan, are you saying that your weenus was covered in elbow cheese?
See what we did here?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I normally would go along with the bit, but...
Urban Dictionary, the skin that covers the tip of your elbow.
You don't even have to use the Urban Dictionary. The regular dictionary defines the weenus.
Mm. How's it spelled?
That's right. W-E-N-I-S.
Oh, weenus.
Weenus. Yes, you're right. I apologize.
As the French say it.
Yeah, the weenus.
You pronounce it like
it is classier that way.
Double E.
You're right. I've totally destroyed the possibility of Senator Katowski ever running for governor.
No. This will all come back in the opposition research.
You're that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
By the way.
Did you look up the other word connected to the weenus on Urban Dictionary?
No.
This one is not a technical term, but there is also a vagina. That would be the inside of the elbow.
Oh, this is
according
a vagina?
To the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The weenus and the vagina.
Together again.
Show.
I can hear the opposition. I know. Dan Katowski talked about his weenus on the radio.
Well, you see, he associated with those who did, I think, is probably his biggest.
I'm going to go get a... Yes.
Sorry.
I'm sorry things go through my mind.
What was that?
Some things that I can say, but I feel like I can't. I'm going to go get like
He's
an
like,
elbow
stop
protector.
Saying my name. Stop
I'm
saying
gonna
my name
I'm
going to
get an elbow protector.
An elbow. You know? Should, yes. All right, I will let you off the hook. I was listening to Ro Khan's show earlier, and he was talking to Pat Brady, and they were talking about how none of them thought that this was going to, that nobody thought. They actually said that nobody thought that Donald Trump would last this long. He said nobody, Craig. He said nobody thought.
That's not true.
It sounds like Ro does not listen to the show.
No. Yeah. No, so there's one person. There's one person in Chicago who dared.
I don't feel very good about it. I don't feel like this is a. I don't like being right on this situation. Oh, I said from the very beginning that Donald Trump would be the.
Oh, she did, and I lost many bets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember? I mean, his press conference, and then I said his first press. I said, "No, this guy's done." Mm-hmm. And you said, "No, he's not." I said, "Yes, he is."
No,
and I said, "You're wrong." And she said, "No,"
like
no,
angrily
no.
pointed at me and said, "I was
with
wrong.
A with a finger."
We made
Scott
bets.
Pointing angrily at someone. I can't imagine it.
We have to get him waxed. What are we getting? What is he getting waxed? Yes, yes.
We need a date, and I left it up to you what will
getting
be waxed. But with this, I do have some veto powers.
Okay, some veto powers. All right,
what would be waxed?
what would it be
wonderful
waxed?
Things will we be waxing?
He's supposed to play the flute in his football uniform.
Yeah, well, you never told me when. I can I do that anytime.
I'm not good at public shame. I like to shame people, you know, situationally, but not necessarily. I don't have to plan their shame.
Yes, exactly. You're a spontaneous shame.
You know what?
Spontaneous.
Next week, I'll just show up. You know, I'm usually on at midnight. I'll show up at 11:30. I'll just start playing with my football uniform. And
your flute.
On one leg, right?
On one leg.
That was the bet.
Is everything a double entendre on this
show?
No,
you took it that way, sir.
No, I really do play the flute. the musical instrument.
Well, excellent.
And I think maybe one of the reasons I thought he was going to do so well was that ability to tap into the rage that many of us didn't realize was there. But I did. I was surprised by how much there was on social media, on our tech screens, by the reaction I would get when I would say certain things.
I'm shaking my head. I'm not disagreeing with you.
You
were
so
just
much.
Right.
And I also, but now, I mean, I still don't know.
Can he win this election?
Yes, he can win this election.
Oh, good Lord.
No, I'm sorry. But I'm not saying he will. I didn't say he will. I said he could.
Will he?
I don't know because it depends on what happens next, right? Do you remember when the Ebola virus was really kind of what helped some people get in office because there was this like keep people out and we're vulnerable to these diseases like that? The Ebola virus had an effect on the midterm elections for some of the seats throughout the country. It did, Senator Katowski, I assure you. You know, because it was sort of like people get wrapped up in this idea that we're that there's other. Yeah. That,
this is the first time I've heard the Ebola virus theory. No, but I think influence on the elections.
I think her point is that especially after
there's a point that there's outside elements that could influence.
Right. There have been there haven't been any polls since Orlando, and Trump mm-hmm. comes out and says I'm going to keep them all out. Well, the guy was born here.
It was more that the coverage of the Ebola virus was huge before the election. See, like right afterwards, the coverage plummeted. Like right afterwards, it was like, it wasn't really that big of a deal. I mean, it was obviously it was significant in certain parts of the country, but it was wildly covered here.
What was the year that
2014
mm-hmm. election year,
mm-hmm.
and that was okay.
Yeah, because it was one of those things, and it was because of the coverage. And I think that's kind of that's exactly what is benefiting Donald Trump is the kind of coverage, the intense coverage. Even us talking about it, I mean, I think that people get annoyed and we're like, well, you know, well, maybe he's right because she just sounds like she's nasty and wrong. And I'm going to go see what Trump has to say. You know.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, anyone listening, I can say she hasn't been wrong yet.
The point that you're raising about people being angry, regardless of whether they're Democrats or Republicans or independents, and frustrated about the way or the direction the country's headed, I think is real. I mean, there has been that level of emotion and intensity. You know, I'm in office for 9 years, and there was a great deal of frustration. People saying, "What are you doing? I need you to better represent me. I'm struggling. I've been out of work. I'm not able to achieve the dream that I thought I could set out for my family." There is a real palpable frustration that's out there. And a palpable frustration for the way business has been conducted, the government at all levels, federally, state, locally. So, I mean, that's real. You saw that with Senator Sanders, and you see that with Donald Trump. But there are people out there who feel very disenfranchised, and there are people who feel very frustrated and justifiable. I always said this, you know, when I ran for office, and I publicly said I wasn't supporting Rob Blagojevich for reelection. I was the only Democrat to do that, and I did it based on like the principle of it, but also people were, you know, when I talk to people, they're like, "Well, how can you be a Democrat and support this guy as a Democrat?" I was like, "I'm not. He's not my prototypical type of elected official who happens to be a Democrat." So I think this is what's real. I think this people kind of miss that part of the story, and they say, "Well, what about him is appealing, or what about this candidate's appealing?" And I think it is that sense of my life isn't going the way I thought it would be. I grew up in the greatest country in the world. I remember just when we hit the recession in Park Ridge.
I was going to mention, I think that a lot of people still feel the wounds of that.
2,000 people showed up to a job fair in Park Ridge. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not that it's this bastion of influence, but it's an upper middle class community. 2,000 people from all around came to a job fair, and it was at the height of the recession, but that just doesn't happen. Mm-mm. And every block I went to and I talked to people like, "How's it going? Oh, I've been out of work for 6 months. I've been out of work for 8 months. I've been out of work for 12 months. You know, it's a struggle. I'm going to have to sell my house. I'm going to mortgage my, I'm going to foreclose my house. It's going to be foreclosed. My business is struggling."
And I think that's it. I think that because Donald Trump is able to tap into the, like, no one's listening to me. It seems as though the politicians aren't reacting to the real life situations, these struggles that people are going through, he's tapping into that, into the rage that they have, that's turning it outward. I don't know I don't know what language there is for us all to kind of go, what are the other options that I have other than anger, right, or frustration? Because it's hard when you're in the middle of that, when you're struggling. I remember when Steve lost his job, I think I was mad for like a year and a half that our lives were not going the way I'd hoped. That, we had almost bought a house the year before he was let go. So that was put off. We still have not bought a house. Like, I wanted to buy a nice place, a little bit bigger for the boys with a bigger yard. And we are still in the same place. But there was a moment where I went, okay, I can either continue to be angry about this or figure out how to make this work. And that took me a year and a half to come to terms with, okay, this is my new reality. Now what do I do? And I mean, I was working on it, But I mean, I was mad all the time. That story I have about throwing the laundry, Craig, you've seen me tell that story about having a patty melt. I just full on was like throwing things. I closed the door so no one could see me, but I was like, I had so much rage. And I mean, at some point you have to figure out, okay, it's not everything else. It's, I have control over this moment, but not all. That took a long time.
I actually think Marco Rubio, of all times, his concession speech was probably his best moment in Florida when he talked about the ascent of the Tea Party. And he came on that wave and the anger that brought that in. And then they came in and they didn't improve these people's lives. And so that anger has extrapolated, become larger, and now mm-hmm. we have Donald Trump. And I think that's a pretty fair and accurate analysis.
I
don't know what to do with that. I mean, it's just it scares the hell out of me.
Well, and then people who are angry also don't see Hillary Clinton as somebody who is in tune with what they need and what they want. And people are very angry about their choices now. Let's take a quick break and talk more about this. You know what? And I, of course, our conversation is always open for everybody. This is not just the three of us. We're voicing just our opinions. But what are you thinking right now? What are your, what's your sense of the election? 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the All Stages. I'm all stages of fun in here in the All Stage Showcase Studio.
All stages of psychological development as well.
Joining me in studio is Senator Dan Katowski and political cartoonist for Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. And it had to have been I know that you have, as a cartoonist, you have a unique situation where you're trying to make light of things. But when we have such a just a monumentally overwhelming tragedy, this has happened, a couple of tragedies this weekend. But of course, I'm talking about Orlando, and I don't even know where to begin with that. But I think that you did an amazing job.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
And people should check out Scott Stantis on the Chicago Tribune site. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
It's a funny thing. I do a cartoon and it's out of my brain, but this one I was proud of. It's this hulking, lurking monster labeled hate and this little kid. And if you look at the drawing, I would encourage your listeners to do so. The little kid is so defiant. Look at the posture. He's just leaning into this. He says, you can't kill joy. You can't kill love. You can't kill our humanity. You lose. Mm-hmm. And all of these monsters in our midst try, but they can't do it.
No, no, I know. But it's,
and they won't.
And they won't. It's a scary thing. I was listening to Bill and Wendy has talked about thinking every day about whether or not she could be the victim of gun violence.
Sure. In Chicago? Absolutely.
Well, and anywhere. I mean, I remember from a young age wondering, like, being suspicious of people around me, you know, whether it's on the train or in a crowd, and always kind of like feeling vulnerable. I think when you feel exposed, I don't know if there are those of us who, you know, Nick D had this great guy on the other night talking about like people who are be aware of your surroundings and always kind of, you know, what is your plan in any given situation? Be, you know, a defensive driver and, you know, whatever it is, to be locked in rather than like, you know, changing the radio station or texting and things like that, but to be present and to be aware. I mean, he was talking about those who survive, even in situations like this, what the difference can be. But I don't know how anyone survives. I don't, you know, that seemed to be such a crazy night in Orlando.
Well, a monster comes into a crowded area and starts shooting away. We're starting to see videos people took on their cell phones, and it's horrible. I mean, and this monster came in and just blasted away. No one expects that. I don't know that you can prepare for that.
No, you cannot. And I did watch the filibuster for hours yesterday on the floor of the Senate.
Can you explain something to me?
Absolutely.
And Dan, maybe.
Absolutely. I can explain everything. I have it at my disposal.
How in the name, and I'm a Second Amendment guy, but I think there can be reasonable, we've talked about this before, there can be reasonable restraints on gun ownership. But, so Sandy Hook, little kids getting mercilessly slaughtered. Now this.
Yeah.
When is this going to hit critical mass? At what point does this happen?
And Senator Gutowski has worked so long and hard on this. I know you've worked with families from Sandy Hook. You know some of the parents. I don't know. I'm guessing that you've hit this wall so many times, because what I've heard from, and from our friends last night, Tim Slagle and Michelle Homme, who are both Second Amendment, you know, they have the language. And I've said it because it's funny, because I listen to them and I go, oh, okay, I don't know what to say to that. But it is partly, it seems to be, this idea that if you take one thing, then it all comes apart.
Well,
then,
slippery slope argument, which everybody uses.
But that's not how legislation works, is it, sir? That if you limit the two things
they
were
asking
for. Let's
say assault rifles. Let's say the AR-15.
And that's not even what they were asking for yesterday on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
No.
Senator Christopher Murphy was asking for if you're on a no-fly zone, if you are a suspected terrorist, you cannot buy, and to close the loopholes for point of sale.
And the Republicans in the gun lobby kills that. That makes no sense. There's practical applications, but that makes zero sense even to me.
I think so. You go to the complete other end of the spectrum, says we're not going to do anything. And as a consequence of that, now people will feel, well, my gosh, the people who are terrorists or potential terrorists can go buy guns legally. Oh my God, what am I going to have to do in order to protect myself? So this has created this situation where this absence of reasonable protections in place for children and families and law enforcement, it just doesn't exist. See, I think it's very sad. And the thing is, it's very sad, because I think there are, when you poll people who are gun owners, who are law-abiding citizens, who are good, decent people, you know, church-going people, they will say, yeah, they support universal background checks. They even support restrictions on military-style assault weapons. 70% of them are, and it's very significant number. It's very important that it's, so it's not about public approval. It's existed and has existed for decades. The problem is that politicians are, elected officials are able to stay in their jobs because there isn't retribution for them not standing up to a group that is very single-minded in their approach. It does not approach or does not focus on ways to meaningfully look at how we can protect
families. So when
families.
You introduced legislation, what kind of blowback did you get? Where was the opposition? And what was the?
So I got death threats in my office.
Death threats. Yeah.
Death threats.
As soon as he came on our show the very first time, we started getting texts, get this gun grabber off your show.
Yeah.
Like demands.
So, and the thing is, I'm a guy who's.
And we didn't even talk about guns.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like,
good Lord.
And the thing is, and so I've had death threats, and I've had, I had introduced a bill that dealt with this 50 caliber sniper rifle that's available for the public. Do you think the AR-15 is a dangerous weapon? The 50 caliber sniper rifle is a very powerful gun that could puncture the tank of gasoline tank of an airplane flying overhead, and it's accessible by civilians. And I proposed a bill to do that. And then there was a mail piece that was sent out in my district that said I was trying to keep our military from getting access to weapons they needed to defend themselves in the Middle East against terrorists. And it was sent out to mainly senior citizens in my district. So I had to respond to that, and I called everybody up and I said, that's not true. This has no impact on that whatsoever.
Was it effective? I mean, obviously you got reelected.
No,
you got elected, but
it was, you know, it's effective. Here's the thing it's the constant. Here's the thing, and I think the psychological challenges. Really, I think this is what it boils down to. It's one thing for people to call up and say, I want you to do something about this. You need to step up and protect families. It's another thing for someone to call up and say, my name is, you know, like John, I have 15 guns, and yeah, I have an AR-15, and I don't want you to vote for that bill. And I think it wears down on people psychologically, because I think they're afraid to do the right thing, because not only do they fear for their lives, they fear for their job, and they fear for the constant pressure that they'll get. And they're not willing to do the right thing.
Let's all try to do the right thing. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with State Senator Dan Katowski and Scott Stantis, who are having a secondary show, which is fine. but I know there's a lot of information, and it is. And Senator Katowski has worked so long and hard on trying to come up with reasonable approaches to gun legislation. And it's so funny. There's a listener who became sort of an ardent fan, Craig. Remember, over 2,000 personal messages at one point, and I just stopped responding to anything.
Yep, I remember, yeah.
And one of the reasons I was a little nervous was that there was a lot of gun stuff on his wall, and that was only because he gave me 2,000 messages and would come to my shows, and then was very, very rah-rah guns. I mean, like, just rah-rah. So I haven't heard from him in a long time, and I posted yesterday that we had a gun control conversation with law enforcement and friends, and he put a big thumbs down on my thing, and I was like, that's just I mean, you come out of the words gun control make you upset, and I don't.
Yeah, they're frames. So it's like the reasonable gun safety measures.
Gun safety. Can we say gun safety?
Gun violence
is that better?
Prevention.
Sure.
Yeah, you could say. The thing is, what I think is so important, though, to the point, is that people who lose their children, right, never really heal, ever.
Right.
And my friend Tom Vandenberg lost his son, and he was killed in Rogers Park in 1992. And he's been working at this issue for a long time, and he's tried to help other people to heal, help other people to have hope and to do something about this issue and to make sure that there's kids are leading better lives, kids who are living in poverty or struggling. But he's never going to heal. Yeah. And these people, what happened in Orlando, what happened in Newtown, no matter what they're doing, they're never going to truly heal, but they're trying their best to give back, and they're trying their best to make sure other parents don't suffer the same fate. But this is one thing I think people, unless it's happened to you, you'll never really get. Unless you've lost a child, you'll never get it, that you're never really going to heal, because you're not supposed to bury your children, and ever. And no matter what the situation is, and this is what's happening all over the place. And whenever I go to the movie theater with my kids, I said, okay, I know where the exit signs are.
Yeah.
I sit near an exit sign, and I'm prepared to a certain extent, because I'm worried, because it can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even if I were to be armed, what am I going to do? Have it on my lap and wait for someone who comes in with an AR-15, and then I'm going to improve my chance of protecting me and my children because I got a pistol.
Well, think
lap.
About this. We are a country now that has the firearm of choice for mass murderers. Mm-hmm. The AR-15 has been used in many of these attacks.
Right.
We were off the air, and Senator Katowski and I were talking about, you introduced legislation something as common sense as limiting the size of magazines. That is the amount of rounds you can have in your guns. And you got ridiculous amounts of blowback on that.
Well, and then the argument back would be, well, they can adjust. It doesn't matter if you limit the magazine, because they can just strap two clips together and expand a 10 round magazine. I'm just saying.
There will always be an argument to not do something.
Exactly.
And we would always say, you don't ever let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And this whole idea is like, well, you can always find something wrong with a particular piece of legislation and figure out a way to knock it down and say that it's not going to work. But the fact remains is, like, I remember when the shooting happened at Virginia Tech, I introduced legislation and to make sure that if people had a history of mental illness, who had been a threat to themselves and their community, hadn't been institutionalized for mental illness, but had been talking about killing themselves or killing mm-hmm. others, right? That would be reportable. That would be reported, and they would be prohibited from buying guns. The gun industry in their lobby, they were absolutely silent. Absolutely yeah. silent. And the point is like, now that it started to happen when it became worse, it's like, mental illness is what we really need to do. There are so many holes in this. There's so many problems in this that really wouldn't prevent any law-abiding citizen from getting access to a gun. It would just prevent people who should be prohibited buyers from getting access to guns. Mm-hmm. And this is what this is about. There's got to be a balance that we strive to reach, because there are people out there, good, decent people, people that I worked with, people who honestly believe, and it's the Second Amendment supports that. But we need to move heaven and earth to keep bad people, people who are at risk, people who are dangerous from getting access to guns. And I think that the country universally supports the notion that you should prevent people who are a danger or a threat from getting access to AR-15s. I think they support it universally.
Well, here, this is from a gun owner who has an AR-15, and he says he's had enough. This is enough for all time. When criminals kill each other, their families mourn, their communities may mourn if they were young, but everyone knows why they died. For the most part, they died because they took up the gun against other people who had taken up the gun. There is no mystery, even if some say there is. But Orlando is different. Shooting at schools are different. These are events are acts of execution, not battles. They are no different from the guillotine, one lined up after another and sent to the next world. And they are that way for one reason: capacity. I can go out right now and buy a 100-round magazine for my AR-15. It costs $119. I can buy two. For barely over $300, I could buy three and carry 300 rounds on me attached to a tactical vest. I would barely ever have to reload. I could hold off the police. I could shoot anyone who charged me and tried to stop me. There would be no respite and no break where I would have to take a few seconds to stop and change magazines. If they were close enough together, then I could kill hundreds in minutes. See, this is a secret that gun owners know. We know that for the most part, non-gun owners don't understand guns. We know that you don't know how to deter these shootings. We know that non-gun owners will call for psych evals, insurance, confiscation, to confiscate 350 million weapons, even if Congress did repeal the Second Amendment. We know that it is the things that cannot happen that will bring the things that gun control advocates will call for. But one thing that would put a dent in the number of mass shootings today, and that's restricting magazines for the AR-15.
Right. Well, we had Mark Kelly, who the astronaut and the husband of Gabby Giffords, and he was here for an editorial board meeting, and he's a Second Amendment guy. He's from he lives in South Arizona. I mean, I used to live there myself. Gun culture there. They hunt. But he said there's common sense here, people. There really is common sense. What works? How do you prevent this? Do you need 100-round clip to go hunting deer? No, you do not. Do you need a 50 caliber sniper rifle to hunt? No, you do not. So why would we make that easy for crazy people to get a hold of? Or there's a reasonable approach to this. I swear to God. And I really do believe in the Second Amendment. I don't own a gun because they scare me, quite frankly. But I think you have a right. But you don't have a right to a bazooka. You just don't. And that's common sense.
Someone called last night and said that the Second Amendment gives us the right to have guns. It's to bear arms and have, and we can go back and forth on the language of it, but that's what we always come down to is, and I used to, when I started doing stand-up comedy, I always wonder, like, what other amendment, what do people know about the Constitution? It's always the first and second, and nobody ever, like, worries about the quartering of soldiers and...
Oh, I'm against that.
Are you against it? Yeah, don't quarter your soldiers here. More for this on 720 WGN. Right. That's
yeah, Petty. Yeah.
It's a little much.
What is it?
That's very funny.
I don't know if anyone is aware. The Silver Dome Awards, the winners were announced, and you are the best radio talent in Chicago.
I'm not the best radio talent. I have...
of the world! Yes!
I like that it's of the world now.
Yeah, I think so.
A little bit of the world.
That's how
Although,
I took
if you
it.
Think of the best radio talent in the country or in the world as being in Chicago... which I would stipulate. I would say that we have the best radio talent in the city. Nick DiGilio, Ro Khan, Steve Cochran,
well, you know,
Bill
when,
and Wendy. And I'm naming right. just the ones here, but I think what a great rich history of radio talent. I mean, like Wally
you
Phillips
are being
and Roy
so
Leonard.
So sweet about it. Again, we are the champions, though. We won. You have an award in our room.
And Judy and Steve and Johnny have
in the office, it says your name. It says best. Those things, all, you know, when a sports team wins, they say they're the best in the world, even though that's really not the whole world competing.
Right. Yes,
that's what we do. That's we are the best in the world.
Well,
Patty Vasquez,
thank you, Craig. Thank you from the very beginning. You have been so great to work with. You and your instincts are really what make this show sing sometimes. And not sing because I can't sing, but what I mean is that it flies along in a way
nice
that people don't understand the, you know, the moments where you know how to pull up an idea, whether it's a sound or make a phone call or the guests that you book and the sort of topics that we cover.
Well, thank you.
So thank you. And Todd Manley and Jimmy DeCastro, who...
Well, and how versatile you are, how many things we can do on this show. It really is a testament to your talent. You are all over the place. We can pitch you one thing that's very funny and silly, and then the next moment you head down to Springfield and attack issues that are important to people.
It's really because my house is messy. It's why I go to Springfield. I'm like, you know what? I think there's some stuff I have to do in Springfield. I can't look at this mold on the shower curtain anymore.
Well, and that was the most fun thing about actually editing together your highlight reel that I sent to the Silver Domes, is that it was all over the place. There was funny in it. There was serious in it. There was a lot of stuff in a 3-minute, you know, clip of what you do.
Which you had to put together and demonstrated the best. So that was amazing on your part. So thank you very much. And our listeners, who, by the way, I know that we don't agree on everything. Some things we don't agree at all. Sometimes you really get annoyed with me. Sometimes we make you laugh, and sometimes we make you cry. And we are grateful that you hang around. Those of you who, you know, some of you right now are thinking, I got someplace else to be. We hope that you will come back. And I know that you have to go to bed too. All of our shows are available on WGNRadio.com, by the way. I saw Peter Nicias today in the lobby, and I realized we haven't seen him for a while. And then he said it's summertime, which means that he's really busy, and that made me sad. We were talking a lot last night about gun violence, and that's something we've talked a lot about this week. And again, that's something that I know that people were getting upset last night, and some people were agreeing with us. Again, thank you for hanging out for those conversations. But I was going to say thank you to Steve Cochran, who, by the way, fought for me. You know, when I didn't have any broadcasting experience, and it may, to some people, still seem as though I don't. What's this button do? Steve Cochran is, you know, look, I was a guest of his from starting in about 2000 on, for 10 years, I was his guest here at WGN until some crazy crackpot came in and said, let's change things and make it awful. But when Jimmy DeCastro and Todd Manley came in, Stephanie Menendez, really, it's been so much fun and I'm so proud to be a part of this team. And thank you. And Stephanie, every day, the three of us, me, you, and Stephanie, Craig, we're on the phone. And sometimes we're like, I don't know what we're going to do tonight.
Oh, no. Stephanie is such a huge part of prepping the show, too.
Absolutely.
She's been amazing. And just one more time as a reminder.
And Senator Gutowski, who's coming in studio and who was our very first guest, has been a part of that, too. And I have to say to my family, thank you so much for putting up with all the crazy. And because when I wake up, I start pulling stories. If we're watching Arrow or, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm like, look at this story. What do you think of this story? Do you think anyone will be interested in talking about this? And they're like, but Ollie and Felicity are on the outs, and now they're not even together anymore. And I'm like, yeah, but I have this great story. So thank you, Steve, for holding our family together. And Griffin, you are such a good big brother to Declan. And, you know, by the way, I want to thank everyone that came out to Almost Home Kids tonight. A great organization. And I apologize that I'm so bad at promoting the things I'm going to do, Craig. I really got to let people know. But I invited Debbie Grisco, who is the complete mastermind behind this organization. It's basically a group of medical care providers who teach families that have a new medical situation with their children. For example, when Declan was very sick at his birth, when he was born, he was not able to breathe on his own. And when they finally sent us home with him, they gave us this heart monitor. And they were like, if his heart stops, this alarm will go off. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? His heart's going to do maybe what? And Almost Home Kids would have been the kind of place I would have loved to have been just so happy to be able to have almost like a stopover place, Esmeralda, where the nurses and the doctors would explain, you know, when this alarm goes off, this is what you do, walk you through the process. We had to give Declan phenobarbital because he was suffering from seizures. And they would have explained, you know, how the medicine works, how to give him the dosage. You know, if he doesn't swallow it all, like, how do you, you know, do you have to give him another dose? I really would have loved to have been a recipient of their services, but there are so many families that are fortunate enough to be. They have an entire floor at the Ronald McDonald's home here downtown. They are building a similar site in Peoria. They have one in Naperville. Senator Dan Katowski, are you familiar with Almost Home Kids?
Almost Home Kids.
Almost Home.
I've heard of them.
It's so great. Debbie Grisco had her summer soiree tonight at the yacht club, by the way. I was freezing. It's so cold down here tonight. Well, you're running.
Were you on your yacht?
I was on, no, I was on the Columbia Yacht Club. I was hosting a soiree.
You were hosting it?
I was hosting it. I should let people know when I'm doing things like that.
You should.
I'm mostly trying to get away from the fact that Craig has been playing We Are the Champions, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Well, you know what? You have to wear the crown that's been placed upon your head.
I am not going to do that.
Yeah, there it goes. Here we go. Sorry. I was singing all last night.
That's right.
At the Yacht Club.
You know what?
Concert.
You know what? Will you climb some stairs with me?
Yes.
More after this on 720 right. WGN. Thank you, Steve. My husband just texted at me. Thank you very much, Craig. That's very. That's that. It is. I was just explaining to Senator Katowski that I didn't understand what was happening when. I mean, I saw the list of nominations, and you guys. I guess you guys got off the phone, and I was on the road, by the way, when you guys told me that I was nominated.
Got it.
And so that's why I just right. I don't.
Didn't think that well, maybe it was well, and also this year was a funky year because all three of the people that were finalists were from the same radio station. So
I really didn't think I had a shot. I mean, Ro Khan and Nick D are mainstays in Chicago radio, and they are legendary. And I didn't think I was going to win this.
We did though. We won. In case you want me to play the song again,
no, I don't. It's okay. Thank you very much.
Okay,
I kind of feel
great,
bad.
What a great reflection! I was talking on the phone earlier today, and so happy for you.
Thank
what
you.
What a wonderful.
Well, you
tribute
were my.
To your...
You were my very first guest, and you came in studio, and now you started coming in studio again. It's been fun to have you here, and I've gotten a lot of compliments about you. Just you seem so at like content with what you're doing now that you have stepped. I mean, I know that you were proud of the work that you did in our legislature as a senator. I think that being able to have a direct effect on people's lives has really, I think, made you seem as though you know that your work is accomplishing something directly.
I do, but so. It's also it boosts my my energy, my spirits to be hanging out with you because you're so good at your job. Back to you.
Stop
and
it.
And back
Stop
to you.
It.
But I know I am very happy in my new position, but it's challenging.
Hey, I'm going to come play miniature golf with you tomorrow.
That's great. We're going to have the Big Hearts mini golf outing for Child Surf tomorrow from 6 to 9.
Yes.
Mountain View Golf Course.
In Des Plaines.
Gauntlet mini golf course in Des Plaines on Oakton.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
going to
Esmeralda,
I sent you an invitation if you want to join us. I don't know if you're busy.
Please
come. I know it was a last minute thing. I feel bad. I send out a bunch of invitations at the last minute.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's nice that you did. We're going to have a great turnout. My niece, Jenna Simon, is going to perform her acoustic guitar. She's going to sing, and
nice.
Which is great. And we got a lot of stuff for kids and great activities. We're going to have a raffle where people can win a Chicago Bears football, and then we have all sorts of different things,
so
gift cards. Like if you win, which you may win, you may be on a roll. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's say you win tomorrow.
I won't, but
Whatever.
Yeah.
You get a gift card.
Sure.
You know, something exciting, just kind of like, you're always giving out gift cards here. It'd be nice for you to get a gift card. It's like something's out in the universe. Somebody's wanting to give you a gift card right now. I just want you to know that there are people out there.
There are people out there.
As my son Cooper used to call it the Univide.
The Univide.
The universe. I'd say we talk about the universe and he'd call it that. Dad, is that the Univide? I like the Univide.
I like that.
Well, there's something out there in the Univide wanting to give you a gift card. I think it'll happen when you come and you win. Tomorrow.
I will just be happy to be a part of your event.
We're giving you some praise tomorrow for winning.
No.
Yeah.
Esmeralda, can you join us?
I think I can.
All right.
Oh, that'd be great have you.
I might come grab you and Dr. Daphne.
Yeah.
Is that different from I think I will? I think I can.
She's going through her plans for the weekend.
Yeah, because I saw it. I saw it earlier, but I was like, golf?
Miniature.
Mini
golf. I didn't see the mini golf.
Mini.
I saw golf. I was like,
Yeah. It's a big commitment.
Mini,
like, cause it's
mini I can
yeah.
deal.
Yeah. Regular golf is like, it's about 5.5-6 hours. It's a full, it's a full on excursion. It's a big commitment.
Right.
Well, no, it's just a whole other
ball
game.
This mini golfing, 45 minutes, food, good people.
I don't think I understand my husband's, the next celebration text that he sent me with a bunch of different symbols. It's a lot of international
stuff. You're all world is what he means.
I think there's a box and a couple of balloons and then a present and then a piece of cake and a couple
of glasses. You're the champion of the world.
Of the wine.
That's what he means.
Oh, and then I have a crown.
It's like one of those things on the game shows. You had to figure out what it says.
Yes, exactly. Like almost like those the pictures, like make a sentence.
Yeah.
Yes,
what
I don't,
is?
I don't, and then there's a.
What is? You are the champion of the world.
I guess so. There's a flag. There's the Chinese flag, the German flag, the Japanese flag, the flag of France, Great Britain.
Have you ever been to Maine East High School?
I don't think so. I've
been in the auditorium, they have all the flags of all the countries that the students and their families come from. And
oh, really?
Like, 75 flags. It's just awesome.
So do they ask students, where's your family from, so that they
make sure they're...
Well,
I think they know that. It's one of these things where, you know, I think, you know, in the course of conversation, it's really a cool thing. It's so representative of the United States and who we are and where we all come from and how we should honor that. And we went to see a play there recently. Every time we go in there, I'm like, oh my God, this is, you know, what the world's like. And it was like, we were at the food truck event last week at the Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was awesome because Pilsen, it was so diverse, and we brought our kids out there, and you know, you saw everybody, you know, old, young, black, white, Latino, Asian. It was everything.
That's what Ribfest felt. I was at Ribfest last week, yeah. And it was great to be around a lot of people who were from a lot of different neighborhoods from all over the city.
I was literally there, I was like, this is just like New York.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was like walking through, but better. You have micro way.
I never need to be compared to New York. Like, I've been to New York, and
there are elements of New York that are really cool, but yes. it's on steroids, and I think it's overwhelming for people.
It's very, like, it's like be walking through a canyon of just, there's no sunlight. And it's very vibrant, and there's a lot going on, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know which way is east, because I don't know where the lake is, because they don't have a lake, they have the ocean. By the way, I have to find this article, Craig. We were voted the city in America with the best beaches, the best beach town in the country.
By who? By people that don't know what beaches are?
Oh, my God. More after this. Do I need a break now? No,
you can break if you want to.
It's so early if I broke right now.
Why are you breaking?
Is this
a 7-post break?
Did the people who voted in that, like, not live on either of the coasts? Is that the problem?
I feel like they've been
to probably beaches. All lived in the middle of the country where
Esmeralda,
there are no beaches.
Do you know what article? Were you the one that sent
me
the
article?
Yeah, I'll find it. All right, me too. I mean, we're going to find the article and just throw it at you. We're actually going to print it out and throw it at you. And then,
all right. Well, I'm going to try to find an article that names New Jersey as the best beach.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Where was this conducted, Esmeralda?
There was a beach that we went to. I can't think of what it was. There was no beach. It was just stairs. And then you would just dive into the water.
Stairs? You know, just man-made stairs?
Man-made stairs, and we would dive in the water.
Natural stairs.
If any of the guys from the neighborhood who are listening tonight, we would drive down to the beach, and we would jump into the water, and it was about 6 to 8 feet deep. But it was a beach
on Lake Michigan?
Right on Lake Michigan.
Okay, that doesn't make sense as a beach. By the way, the Travel Channel said the top beaches in the United States are in Hawaii, and then number 7 is in New Jersey, Cape May.
Yeah, this is a study.
Okay.
Oh, it's a study.
It's better than Travel Channel's
The content
opinions.
Of the beach? I mean, the feeling of the beach?
How did they study stuff?
Yeah.
What do they do?
Released by a marketing agency.
Oh,
well, now that says, now
that's
I have
suspicious.
That was a red
the
flag.
The metal detector. Mm.
Where's the marketing
the
agency located?
And who are they hired by? See,
right.
I smell.
See?
Patty, what are you trying?
I'm sorry.
Oak Street Incorporated. Oak Street Incorporated.
You're on our side.
I know. I am on our side. I'm definitely on our beach's side. But I have to go with
the Chicago River Group.
It's one of those things where they say, "Who are they?" Oh, Patty Vasquez says, "Best beaches in the world."
Best beaches by Patty.
NAB.